Moving on, members, if we can. We now move on to lighting, external lighting. This is an issue that I think we're going to have to consider in some detail as time goes on. Increasing comments about light pollution around the waterfront, around the harbour. How do we move to an LED-driven solution, if you like? Carrot and stick, how are we going to encourage, how are we going to persuade people to be more efficient in terms of their energy management? A wider role for Hong Kong, but also something that's important to us as the Harbour Commission. So, we have with us Catherine Choi, and we have Mr. Low from EMSD. Catherine, are you going to brief us?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairman and the Committee and Commission, for giving me the chance to brief the Commission on the subject which may have an impact on the future night scenic view of the harbourfront. There has been some complaints or some queries on whether the external lighting in Hong Kong is more than enough, excessive in terms of energy wastage and also in terms of light nuisance that cause to residents nearby. So we have conducted a consultancy studies covering three areas. First is to collect information on the experience of metropolis similar to Hong Kong in handling external lighting. We have also a survey on the views of stakeholders and another survey on the external lighting impact in various representative areas in Hong Kong. On the experience of other metropolis, you can see that the selected cities spread over different continents with economic development and population density quite similar to Hong Kong. And we find in our study that cities vary widely in the regulatory approaches and the scope of coverage in their regulation. And among the cities surveyed, none has in place full-blown mandatory regulation over the two concerns of external lighting, that is the light nuisance and energy wastage. If there is any regulation in place, they are usually with limited scopes, and some cities further restrict the applicability of such regulatory framework to only new lighting installation and excluding existing ones. This is a summary table on the regulations imposed by different cities over external lighting from the point of view of energy wastage and from light nuisance. And you can see from the two columns of the left-hand side, only New York and Los Angeles has put in place a regulation over energy wastage issue. And on the right-hand side, the two columns, London, Frankfurt, and Shanghai, and also Sydney, have put in place regulation on light nuisance, but Sydney only put in place regulation on new lighting installations only. And you can see from the table is that Singapore and Tokyo, they have no mandatory regulation over the management of external lighting. For this page, I've just mentioned above. And for all cities which have implemented either mandatory or voluntary guidelines, a lighting environmental zoning system is in place. This is a very important concept in regulating light nuisance in the world. This is to divide different lighting environment for different level of commercial or residential activities to control outdoor lighting. Another part of our consultancy study is a survey on public opinion. We have conducted a survey on over 2,000 people comprising various groups of stakeholders, including, most importantly, the residents and also other stakeholders, including tourist shop owners, building owners, light-sensitive receivers. These are the people that are reported to be most affected by the light nuisance problem. Most of the respondents have the impression that there was light pollution in Hong Kong, about 70%. But we can see in the coming slides that respondents have mixed feelings and opinions towards external lighting. About 40% of the residents in the light-sensitive receiver groups consider that external lighting had adversely impacted on their daily life, work, or health. However, less than 10% of residents in general, that means residents that are not in light-sensitive receiver groups, had the same opinion. And a large proportion of respondents acknowledge the benefit of external lighting, including beautify the environment, boost Hong Kong's images of dynamic metropolis, and also promote tourism. And about 90% of residents in general consider that external lighting help provide a safe environment and reduce crime. The third part of our study is the research on external lighting in Hong Kong, and we have selected a number of representative areas representing, for example, New Town, Commercial District, Commercial cum Residential District, in which most problems happened, and also some rural areas. We try to measure and assess certain technical parameters of external lighting, and we use the parameters we use include light trespasses, glare effect, sign and building facade, luminance, etc. And measurement, we take account of those limits recommended by the International Commission on Illumination, the CID, because we don't have any local standards currently put in place in Hong Kong. This is a simple diagram showing how the light affects people or residents nearby. You can see that the most problematic one is the light trespasses, because most of the time when the useful light can have some reflection on the, for example, residents nearby or reflection upward to the sky, and there may be light trespasses that affect the residents nearby that is the origin of most complaints that we've received. The study finds that light nuisance is mostly a localized problem, and it mainly occurs in commercial and residential areas, for example, in Mong Kok and in Causeway Bay. For the assessed value on glare, sign luminance, and building facade luminance, the measured value were all within limits in all the survey area, except Mong Kok. And the light trespass level before the preset time, I'll have to explain it a bit later, on the vast majority of flats were found to be within the recommended limit, except Mong Kok and Causeway Bay. You may have a question on what is the preset time. For most of the international standards or recommended guidelines regarding light pollution, they usually have a preset time. Usually it is 11 o'clock. Before 11 o'clock, the recommended limits for light trespasses or glares or etc. would be a little bit higher than the preset time, which is after 11 o'clock, to provide a darker environment to facilitate the sleeping of the residents. And with more stringent limits adopted after the preset time, we find under the survey that the proportion of flats affected by light trespasses with value exceeding the recommended limits found to have increased substantially after the preset time. And we also find that the ambient light level in Hong Kong at night is relatively high, as many light installations have not been switched off after normal operation hours. And also, we find that the assessed luminance of illuminated signs, they spread over a pretty wide range, indicating that there might be individual cases where the signs might be too bright. So, what do we do or what do we recommend after doing such consultancy study? The first is that we need to respond to the growing public concern on the impact of external lighting. And we take note that in many other metropolises, the regulatory regime are underpinned by a very important set of reference standards or technical guidelines for owners or operators of external lighting to follow. And such technical standards or guidelines are essential for the effective implementation of any kinds of regulation over external lighting. On public opinion, as we have just mentioned, the opinion is very mixed, with benefits and also the discontent over external lighting both feature in our opinion survey. So it is also important that any regulatory approach, in particular the designing of the standards, has to be enforceable. So here are our recommendations. First, in the short run, we recommend voluntary measures with the introduction of guidelines on industry best practice for external lighting installations. And these guidelines are drawn up to facilitate discussion between interested parties, for example, the residents, management of properties, advertising industries, lighting installation owners, and tourism people, and retail shops, etc. And the guidelines, which is the draft of which is at Annex 1 of the paper, cover major areas such as operating hours, automatic controls, light pollution control measures, etc. We have written to all stakeholders and invite their comments up to July this year before the draft guidelines are finalized for promulgation, and we shall continue to assess the effectiveness of the guidelines. And we do not rule out statutory control on external lighting. We shall forge community consensus on the agreed technical standards and control limits, which is very important for any places with mandatory regulatory control on external lighting, in measuring light pollution or energy wastage. And we would also need to address the potential challenge of unique urban landscape of Hong Kong, which is very different, which can be very different from other metropolis which have put in place regulatory measures. We propose to set up a task force to tackle the various measures, including to step up publicity and public education, to advise on the development of technical standards and supplementary parameters, and also to advise on the way forward to tackle nuisance and energy wastage problems. The task force would provide an appropriate forum for stakeholders to forge stronger community consensus. It is very important, as we have presented this subject at the LegCo, we can see that there are divided views among people who speak for the residents and also people who speak for the trade and also speak on behalf of the tourism sector. They have different views on whether and how such regulatory measures should be put in place, and we think that it's really important that we have a strong community consensus on the issue. And also, the task force would provide a forum for developing technical guidelines and parameters and to address potential enforcement problems. It would be chaired by an independent non-officials with members from professional bodies, green groups, business sectors, and also residence groups and concerned government departments. And we have to pledge that the government must take the lead in reducing light pollution problems. Relevant departments have been reviewing their guidelines on external lighting regularly to prevent any nuisance to the public. And as a general rule, the decorative and promotional lightings are now largely switched off by 11 p.m., except for those which have to be maintained or for operational or security reasons, or those under commercial advertising contracts. And for those under advertising contracts, upon the expiry of existing contracts, the departments concerned will implement initiatives to switch off decorative and promotional external lighting by 11 p.m. Individual departments would also take appropriate measures to avoid the external lighting causing nuisance to nearby residents. We are going to take forward public education program, which is crucial to the success of any voluntary or mandatory regulatory measures, and we also support those measures promoted by the community, in particular the green groups, on this front. On the measures that we have proposed, we plan to set up the task force in the second quarter of this year and work in collaboration with different stakeholder groups, and we expect the task force to complete its work in early 2012. Thank you very much for giving me the time for the presentation, and we welcome any questions on this subject.
Catherine, thank you. Obviously a very important initiative, but as you know, our role is essentially we're the guardian of the waterfront, we're the guardian of the harbour. No mention at all, and it's not a criticism, but there's no mention in your paper at all about the harbour, the waterfront. You know, if there is an area of energy wastage in terms of lighting, it clearly is the waterfront at night. But you don't touch upon this. I mean, did that emerge in your discussions with the various parties you've been engaging with? Is there any plan to look at the harbour in a different way?
Thank you, Chairman. So far, we haven't come across any views that this in particular targeting at the harbour, but I'm sure that the tourism sector may have some views over this issue, because the harbour front, the night scenic view, is very important as a tourism scenic spot. I think in future, when task force come to work, they will take into account both positive side and negative sides of external lighting to Hong Kong in assessing whether and how any regulatory measures or recommended measures should be put in place to get a balance between reducing light nuisance to residents and also maintaining a reasonable balance with the upsides of external lighting, like maintaining Hong Kong's image as a dynamic city, etc.
Thank you, but I think harbour is something you need to think about and address. Yeah, certainly in terms of energy wastage. Members, questions, comments, please. Vincent.
Thank you, Chairman. I think this is a very helpful presentation to particular, even from the view of the Harbourfront Commission. I think the Harbourfront Commission and in its previous form, Harbourfront Enhancement Committee has been constantly facing a problem of whether to allow those buildings to add on advertising signs.
And we have three applications.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, I was in the committee that processed a lot of this application, and there has been debate within the committee, within the commission, committee, that, well, whether we should allow for advertising signs to be added to the harbour front. Obviously, they are valuable, particularly from a commercial point of view, because the harbour is a good advertising place for people to put on ads. You know, it's definitely a very, very attractive area. However, we have concern. You know, people are concerning about all these light pollution things and things like that. Even the committee itself has diverse views. So I think the Harbourfront Commission has to maybe have to work out some principles or some views, at least is sort of aligned by committee members. I think this is something that we need to do, Chairman.
Well, the platform may well be these draft guidelines that they're going to produce. We could then use those as, if you like, look at those in the context of what we're trying to achieve along the waterfront. Yeah, yeah. Catherine, I suggest we collect all the questions and you answer them collectively. Members, anything else? Please.
Thank you, Chairman. I also think that to form the task force to deal with this question is a good suggestion. And particularly, we have so many different stakeholders. Everyone have a different demand. One experience is in Central is... when Sun Tat want to put up the rooftop sign, they immediately receive complaint, because particularly one facing the hillside, the residents will find that this sign, bike sign at the night, do affect their view and their living. So end up that we will suggest that they only concern to put the sign face the harbour, that we reduce the light on the sign. I think this is our approach we should consider for later on when the task force will do with the work. So we, one side we can maintain the view from the harbour, so we got the bike sign, all the advertisement. But on the other hand, we protect the people living behind, at the residential and behind the building. So we need to think about both sides. And also is, when we got the centre, those on the top, those flickering arrangement, we do receive a lot of complaint that affect their living, because they found that irritating. So this kind of thing, those circling, changing with time, we need to be very careful. Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you. Hello, PY?
Well, I anticipated it would be rather difficult to get consensus. Why? Because the intensity of the lighting as perceived varies with the distance, isn't it? So to people who live very close to the source of the light, maybe it becomes a nuisance. But for people at a distance, it's enjoyment. Right? So there's a lot of subjective judgment in here. So, but somehow, I wish you good luck in the consultation.
Good, good, good. Anybody else want to say? Please.
Well, definitely, from an ordinary people's point of view, we need to save energy. And we need to save particular those who are not required to use energy. Now, having said that, lighting, particular outdoor lighting, is a difficult and complex particular in terms of the intensity measurement. Now, unlike sound, where sound you can as an ambient sound, and then as compared with those sound generated from the noise, you can make the difference. Lighting, day, light, they're different, and there's no standard of what we call the ambient lighting. Very difficult to set a standard. Now, when a particular lighting is switched on, then you're going to do the measurement. You will have a lot of factor that could affect the measurement. Now, naturally, scale, that one is scale light, that will be easier to handle. The point I think is difficult is how this lighting can be quantified. Now, CIE is in fact is a lighting association. They are working very hard in trying to derive the standard, but to a certain extent, it's come up just only certain time, particularly after 11 p.m. Some of the lighting have to be switched off. Now, in general, we need to promote particular those of lighting that will not be beneficial to use. Now, of course, in the harbor, particularly the Hong Kong, the harbor lighting is one of the tourist attractions. And how we can, for example, encourage some lighting, but at the same time, to minimize those unused lighting, and definitely this will be a very controversial or that sort of a task that how to balance between different stakeholders. That is an issue that perhaps the government or the Environmental Bureau will take the lead in handling the situation.
Thank you. Please, that's Becky, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think my quick question can also go in this round because I just wonder, because this lighting is such a central issue on the harbourfront, on the composition of the task force, would there be a representative from the Harbourfront Commission? I understand that perhaps people would be invited on their personal capacity or maybe already sitting there representing their society. But I think it would be helpful to bridge the gap if they are sitting as the capacity of a representative of the Harbourfront Commission. Thanks.
Anything else? Catherine, floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the sympathy on the difficulties that we are facing. In fact, external lighting, in particular the complaints that we have received, shows that it's a very subjective problem. Sometimes we cannot understand, actually, why the complainant complained this. We have received complaints from Ho Man Tin residents on the external lighting in Tsim Sha Tsui. This is quite ridiculous in our humble opinion, but we have to address the point is that it is a very subjective judgment on whether some lighting create nuisance to particular residents. And that's why there is also different view and divergent views among different trades on the balance on the regulation and also the use of external lighting for promoting trade, for promoting tourism, and also at the same time not to create nuisance on our residents. And also, why we cannot make use of the overseas reference standards or guidelines. It is the point that raised by Dr. Chen is that their ambient light level in Hong Kong is very much different from those cities or countries that have mandatory control on external lighting as nuisance, such as Germany, such as Britain, or something like that. That's why we have to derive our own standards and technical parameters in addressing the issue that is particular to the unique urban environment in Hong Kong. We address all those concerns on the flickering lighting, because it is also one major source of complaints that we have received. And flickering lighting, they are either from signboards or from video wall. From video wall is probably simpler to address, because the video wall usually come with noise and there is legislation on noise nuisance that we can address from another angle. But on the complaints that we have received from on the flickering lights, we usually have to get in touch with the operator of the video wall or the flickering lighting. And we have quite some successful case that they either switch off the light by like 11 o'clock or they reduce the speed of flickering. This is the case of Esprit in Tsim Sha Tsui. We have get in touch with the property management company on the flickering lighting on their shop front, and the speed of flickering has been reduced. With all these divergent views, it is very important for the task force to try to smooth out and try to create a consensus among different trade to establish a balance on to balance the interests of residents and also different trades which make use of external lighting for promoting their own business. And for the composition of the external lighting task force, we welcome the views of having representatives from the Harbourfront Commission, and I'll bring back the view for our colleagues' consideration on this front.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you. Obviously, important work in progress. Yes, Peter?
Well, just a few points. I suppose, really, I am a bit unsympathetic, I have to say. I think, you know, the last thing we want, really, are more regulatory standards, more committees, you know, about these sort of things. I put it in the same category air ventilation and things like that, really. You know, I mean, these things can take on a life of their own. And I think you've been very good in actually acknowledging the fact that Hong Kong is different. We have to think about things like tourism. The two areas that you talked about, Causeway Bay and Mong Kok, you know, are some of the most popular visited areas in Hong Kong for everybody, not the locals as well as visitors, of course. My simple statement really is minimize. Don't let this take on a life of its own. Yet another enormous task force and then a committee and then more regulations. I really don't think they're necessary. And I certainly don't think they're necessary for the waterfront, because the majority of people who visit the waterfront actually get the big picture. They're not thinking about local picture. As far as I'm concerned, and I walk around Hong Kong a lot, I mean, there's very little actual disturbance. So the two things I would say is that existing measures that you talked about are clearly having an effect anyway, without setting up more committees. I mean, I appreciate that with video walls and things like that, you know, they do make noise. You can actually take action anyway under the existing situation. But also that guidelines should really be quite simple. I think Vincent's point about, you know, these enormous great signs, well, you know, it doesn't need a lot of regulation. I mean, all you need to say is that there should be a maximum in terms of size and flickering and so on and so forth. So my suggestion is make it as simple as possible. Don't set up too much of a complicated structure on this. Hong Kong is different.
Please.
Yes, Chairman. I also tend to agree with Peter about the sort of issue of control external lighting around the most popular urban areas, particularly around the two the harbour. I think even though if you implemented something that every non-essential commercial lighting need to be switched off at 11 o'clock, I think it's rather odd. Consider the urban area around the harbour is actually not really a slow down until even at midnight. But of course, I think we need to consider all these nuisance caused to particularly residential neighbourhood. I think now there's a trend that all these further of the central urban areas, particularly those residential neighbors, tends to start to incorporate unnecessary decorative lighting or even flickered lightings. I think we need to address all these as a first priority to even put it in the list that we should minimize the use of external lighting just for decorative purpose. And actually, I've tried to find out from the Beam Plus certification standard whether there's some sort of a criteria restricting all these unnecessary lighting. I think that there should be something in the energy conservation standard, either it's in LEED or Beam Plus, actually restricting these. But it's not very prescriptive. Basically, it's difficult for us to set a prescriptive standard. But I think for some really unnecessary decorative lighting, external lighting, particularly for all those residential neighborhood, I think we should implement some more control. Whether or not we need to maintain some sort of control in an urban area, I doubt it. Basically, it's difficult for us to set some sort of a very defined standard. Yeah, thank you.
Any final comments? Catherine, reaction?
Thank you very much. And such views are part of the views that echo part of the views that we have received. But there is also another end of the views from green groups appealing for our support of tight regulatory control. There should be a balance between the two, but I'm sure the most difficult part is to tackle the commercial cum residential district. This is a unique urban environment that is quite unique in the world. The close co-location of residential and commercial development can be in the same building with big signs on the second floor and all on the third floor it is residence. This is the problem that really affects people's livelihood, and we have to think about how it can be addressed, either by mandatory measures or by hooks or by crooks or something like that. And we do take the point of over-regulation or under-regulation, but we have to balance the views from different sides. Thank you.
Good. Just Catherine, one final question. I mentioned we have three major applications coming to the next Hong Kong Task Force, one of which is from government, which is ironic. all involve illuminated signs, all involve moving signs. I mean, just based on the surveys you've done to date, I mean, any general thoughts or guides, not guidelines, but any thoughts or suggestions in terms of how we should respond? Obviously, over time, if you do develop guidelines, we can use those as a point of reference, but we have no point of reference at all now, apart from our own opinions, if you like. Any thoughts?
We would like to suggest you to make reference to the draft guidelines that we have put up in Annex 1 of the paper. It is a collection of thoughts and wisdoms from our different technical departments that seeks to promote energy efficiency and also reduce light nuisance to the residents nearby. Supposedly, I think the three applications that you are considering are not close to residential area, if fortunately or unfortunately. But if it has an impact on residents nearby, our guidelines do have recommendations on how impact on the residents can be reduced, and also a recommended measures, for example, to switch off after certain hours, and also to switch off if it is not necessary or during the daylight or something like that. That can help reduce the energy consumption. So I think although the guideline is still in a draft form, it do provide some technical standards or guidelines that is quite commonly adopted in other countries also. And I think at this stage, it may be a good reference for your consideration on the three applications.
Okay, well, we'll look at it and see how relevant it is, if you like, to what we have to do. Thank you. Thank you, but it certainly, as you say, could be a useful point of reference.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Keep us in
thank
the
you.
Loop, please, on what's happening as the task force is established and as you start to come up with some way forward. Come back
thank
to
you
us,
very much.
Please. Thank you.